Sports Day for Kia. The all-new Kia Sportage has been unleashed. And Red Energy, awarded Canstar's most trusted retailer nationally for 2021.
7 minutes past six. Hello, welcome along to Sports Day, and it has been a big day in sport. Firstly, the cowboy from the West has backflipped on his initial backflip, demanding all Ashes players, broadcasters and cricket staff must now do 14 days quarantine before the first test. 2 weeks ago, the moment of his initial backflip, he said, much to the surprise of everyone, that it was to be reduced to just 5 days, placating the English, which paved way for the test to go ahead in Perth. Now, in recent times, though, there's been some pushback on the five-day quarantine to the point where WA's hold on the Perth test was said to be, even by themselves, 50-50 at best. So this is a big call by the cowboy, for it's still 6 weeks away, and it's almost certain to cost him the test. Coming up, to put some detail on it, Daniel Breddick, chief cricket writer for The Age, to bring us up to date on what he thinks will happen. And then scoop a touch of the sporting market research. The number on the Harcourt's open line is 133693. You can get on now if you like. But should the Melbourne Storm give Brandon Smith the boot after he trashed the club? What do you think, Scoop? He trashed the club in no uncertain circumstances on a podcast, and it's amazing how much damage is done on podcasts when people get a little bit looser than normal. He has given them a nice old rounds of the kitchen, basically saying he wants to be wearing the Roosters jumper, and how they're bringing him back to their bosom is going to be one of the great challenges for the coach.
Would have had him sacked the next day. Jared would have had his locker cleared out for him. Well, to be honest, I thought the comments were extraordinary, to be quite frank. And given what that club has done for him in the drug scandal and everything that went along with it, I thought he owed them a lot more respect than that.
Very shortly, but Scoop's gone off the long run pretty clearly. Should he be sacked or should he not be sacked? We'll play the comments very shortly. The Harcourt's open line is 133693.
You played a lot of competitive footy, Jared.
It'd be tough to be playing with him right now.
If you were
it would
team,
be
mate.
Tough, yeah. There's a lot of...
You'd be filthy with him.
Absolutely. Yep. There'd be a lot of walking back before he was allowed to play with the team again. Got some Urban Ellie. The urban myth is the zero alcohol to give away to the best caller.
It's good. It's good. And it's good on a day like this. Hey, Dan Breddick is the chief cricket writer for The Age newspaper and been following this very closely. Dan, welcome. We appreciate your time. We know you're busy. Why has he changed back to 14 days?
Good to be with you guys. I don't think that the 14 days is necessarily the game changer here in terms of what he said, because you can characterise 14 days a few ways. Either you put the players into a hard bubble for 14 days, including in Sydney, before they get to Perth, or you delay the start of the Perth test. I think the sticking point is that he said that partners and families won't be allowed to go to Perth, and that's really a non-negotiable as far as players on both sides are concerned.
But it has been a change. He shocked everybody a couple of weeks ago by saying 5 days. Now it's 14 days. I think we can, at this stage, only interpret it by applying the same definition. Or do you think he realises that they're going to lose it, so he's upping the ante to give an out clause?
I don't think anyone could accuse Mark McGowan of ever underselling the populism in WA. I think that's a big part of his approach to government in our westernmost state. A lot of this rhetoric is a natural extension of that attitude, I think. And talking to administrators and people who've been trying to work these issues on the inside over the past few weeks. The rhetoric that the Premier comes out with every now and then is a bit of a shock relative to some of the conversations that are going on behind the scenes. But at the same time, you can't doubt the veracity of it because it's coming from the top.
So will they lose the test or not?
I'd say that if there's a Perth Ashes test played this season, there'll be a lot of people very, very surprised. And I think even the Premier knows that, saying what he said today.
Well, that's my point, though. Does he actually now know that they're not going to get it, so he's up in the ante to give himself some cover?
You think Jared's jumped before he's been pushed?
Pretty much.
Right.
That's what it looks like.
Well, I think that the fact that you had Christina Matthews, the CEO of WA Cricket, yeah. saying it's 50-50 on the weekend. I mean, if you're arguing for something and you're saying it's only 50-50, you'd say that in reality, when she was saying that on the weekend, it was probably 30-70.
Yep.
And McGowan's probably grabbed the other 30% with his comments today.
So where would be the favourite to have it, a day-nighter in Melbourne? And would it have been in Hobart prior to Cricket Tasmania going after Cricket Australia in the last week?
Unhappy family at the moment.
Well, you're right about it being an unhappy family. But I think certainly the combination of that rhetorical battle, but also the fact that you no longer have a Tasmanian test captain of the Australian men's team who might have been looking for a farewell test match venue in another universe a couple of weeks ago. I think that that's another not inconsiderable factor. But really, you know, where Cricket Australia are at right now in terms of where they look, they've got to decide between two things. One, it's between preserving some semblance of relationships within this unhappy family, because as a federal governing body, they've always worked off the principle of kind of equity of opportunity for hosting test matches. And Bellerive Oval hasn't hosted a test match since South Africa gave Australia a shellacking in late 2016.
Mm-hmm.
But the other issue, and this is much more of an issue now than it certainly would have been in 2016, is maximising revenue wherever possible. And that was certainly, as you guys well know, big factor in the AFL's decision-making regarding AFL grand finals the last couple of years, which venue was able to accommodate a full crowd and accommodate a full dance card of corporate boxes, for one thing. If you're looking at it from that angle, then you'd say that Melbourne would be a narrow favourite over Sydney, and Hobart would be trailing in a very distant third.
Dan, thanks for coming on. We know you're busy. Appreciate it.
No worries, guys.
Dan Briddick there, the chief cricket writer for The Age newspaper. It's a fascinating situation. So Perth's gone.
Well, that's the way it reads. That's the way it looks. As Dan said, the CEO of... The Whacker was suggesting that it's at Christina best 50-50 Matthews. On the weekend. And 2 days later, Dan's jump before he got pushed. Mark's jump before
Cowboy,
he got pushed. Yep.
And is it the Omicron variant that the Cowboys worried about? Is that why we've pushed it out to 14 days?
I'm not sure the reason.
That would you look into it, the situation. I mean, Victoria and New South Wales have now placed extra quarantine on people coming into the state from overseas. Mandatory 72 hours.
But they're here already. They're here for 5 weeks before they get to WA.
I'm with you. It's
a push before...
The Emperor has...
Jump before push.
The Emperor has made the border very different to other states.
It's amazing. A friend of mine who has done... who did 14 days quarantine in Queensland to go over to Western Australia to get an interview from the American embassy to go to America. She's Russian.
Goodness me, what a trip.
She got there and she was 6 hours short of her 14-day quarantine. She was put on the first plane back.
You're kidding, aren't you?
I'm not kidding. That is fact.
They didn't let her do 6 hours in a hotel somewhere?
No.
Oh, the whole world's gone mad. That's
fact.
If that is true as you have stated it, that is one of the more outrageous things I've heard.
That's fact.
In the whole,
surprising. Surprising you can't get an interview in an American embassy in other parts of the world.
Yeah.
But they're shut down. It was either Singapore, WA. I think there's another option of Fiji.
Okay. Fascinating stuff. Hey, Jared, when we come back, Jennifer Holdstock is a name that a lot of Hawthorn people would be aware of. She's a Hawthorn board aspirant. We know that there's been a lot going on with the board. She's a... boss of a law firm in her own right. And I think all of our listeners, not just Hawthorn people, will be interested in her story. She's going to join us in studio live next on Sports Day. We've also got Travis Head. Speaking of cricket, is he going to bat at number 5 in the first test? Is it going to be Usman Khawaja? We're going to ask him that later. Welcome back to Sports Day. We're powered by Red Energy, Kantar's most trusted energy retailer nationally for 2021. And for Kia, Sam McClure and Jared Healy with you up until 7 o'clock. We've started by talking about the cricket. We're going to talk a little bit of NRL with Brandon Smith, but it is always footy season here in Melbourne, Jared. Not just on the field, but off the field as well when there are board elections up.
Reminds me of a Scott Palmer line he told me once when I was first in the media, and I asked him, what's your approach to footy? He said, well, You give them footy, you give them a bit more footy, and when they've had enough footy, you give them a bit more footy.
And that's exactly what we're doing. Jennifer Holdstock is a Hawthorn Board aspirant, the principal of law firm Holdstock Law, which you started, Jennifer, and you join us live in studio. Thanks for coming in.
Yes, thanks for having me.
Tell us a little bit about your story. You've been trying to get on the Hawthorn Board for some time now, and there are now two positions up for grabs and three applicants.
Yes, that's right. So I first approached Mr. Kennett in 2010 and expressed my interest. Subsequently, I approached Andrew Newbold a couple of times too. So I've indicated over a long time my willingness to contribute. I haven't been given the opportunity. So when I knew there was going to be an election this year, I put my hand up. Personally, it was the right time. My 96-year-old grandmother and a Hawthorn stalwart died in November. And the last time I saw her, I told her I was going to do it. So it's a personal decision, but also I've been wanting to do it for a long time.
Why do you want to contribute at board level, and what do you think you can contribute?
Well, at board level, it's about having equal representation for the members, having some representation for the members. I know the members haven't felt heard for some time. We haven't had an election for 10 years. 50% of the membership are women, and we've got a new AFLW team joining us. And I think it's time that we had greater female representation on the board.
So my understanding is there's already two women on the board?
That's right.
Katie Hudson and Anne-Marie Pulitzer. Yep. So two is how many are on the board?
We've nine.
Got nine. So two of nine is obviously an under-representation. Why do you think you haven't been successful so far in getting on the board?
So the reason given to me is that they've always had a lawyer on the board and they don't need two lawyers on the board. I know Mr. Kennett's view is that you need a good range of skills on a board, and I agree with that. I think any good, robust board is made up of individuals that bring different skills. The same lawyer has been on the board for 10 years and he's coming off next year, and I think he has a huge area of responsibility, a huge portfolio that he's in charge of, risk and compliance. And having a double up for a year so the new lawyer can learn what it's all about is probably not a bad thing.
What's your expertise as a lawyer?
So I manage commercial resolution for yep. disputes. So we do a whole range of commercial disputes, including workplace relations. And I guess it piqued my interest, the exit of Alastair Clarkson and how that was handled, because as a litigator, I had some ideas about how it might have been handled differently. So I think I bring a different skill set than the existing lawyer, and I think the club could probably use my skills.
Have you received unfair treatment from current people on the board, do you think?
So I've been approached by members of the board and also people from Hawks for Change asking me to withdraw my nomination. And no proper reason was given to me other than...
So Hawks for Change is Ian Silk. The Hawks for Change are pushing up Ian Silk to be the next president?
Yes, yep. That's right. So it confounded me a little bit because they say that they're about greater diversity on the board and then they put up two men candidates and haven't supported me. They've also said that they want members to be represented more on the board and then... You know, they've discouraged me from running. And in terms of the board members, it was very much a case of not having two lawyers on the board in terms of that double up of the skill set.
So I'm a little bit confused here. Do you think that Jeff Kennett and the current board have put pressure on you not to run? And if so, and for that matter, Hawks for Change. And if so, why? I mean, your credentials speak for yourself. So why would they be anti you joining the board?
I don't think they have encouraged me to stand down. And I tell you what I don't understand is that if we had 40% female representation on the board, we would be eligible for state government funding. We're going into a double election year next year, state and federal elections. We are, by our very nature of the makeup of the board, ineligible for state government funding. And I cannot work out why I'm being discouraged from running when even with me, we wouldn't reach that 40% target.
How have you rated Jeff's performance overall?
Look, I think we've come out of a pandemic with a plus on the financial side, and I think that's extraordinary. Mm. Having said that, I think that every team has been decimated by the last 2 years, and the rebuilding phase coming out of the pandemic is going to be huge. So I don't think that he is going around saying we're in the best, you know, position that we've ever been in. I don't think any club can possibly be coming off the back of the pandemic. I think there's a lot of rebuilding to be done and we need to focus on that. We also need to listen to the members, because he now knows from what's happened to him that the members are unhappy and they want to be heard. They want to have a greater say.
Do Hawthorn have a gender problem at board level?
Well, by the nature of the fact that they can't get state government funding, I'd say the answer is yes.
Why do you think that is?
Because they
leadership?
Don't... Look, I think there's a cultural problem there. I think you can see what's happened with Alistair Clarkson, an employee of 18 years and four flags, and the way he exited. None of us are privy to what went on at the board level, but what
Jared and I have both been strong on the fact that I'm not going to speak for Jared. It was embarrassing what happened.
Well, we don't know what happened at the board level. I've been assured that Alistair Clarkson's welfare was the number one consideration. What I do know is that as a member, the way it played out was embarrassing and appalling. We were told one thing about good governance, and then 2 weeks later, it was a complete shambles. The way it played out and the public message that was portrayed to members was embarrassing. And if that's any indication of the culture, there needs to be change. You cannot have an employee of 18 years' experience exited in that way and expect members to be happy.
Where does that instability come from, do you think?
Look, everybody has to take a responsibility for that, I think. Management and the board have to take responsibility for what happened. But also the fact that members are not being listened to. There hasn't been an election for 10 years.
Why hasn't there been an election for 10 years?
Well, because the board has been handpicked according to their skill set.
And isn't that the right approach?
No, I don't think so. I think if that's the approach you want, amend the constitution. You cannot have a constitution that says every year there will be an election and people have the opportunity to put their hands up, mm-hmm. if they're eligible, of course. And people who don't have the appropriate skill set are not going to put their hands up, let's face it. So the constitution says if people want to try, they should have the opportunity to do so. Let the members vote. If I don't get in, that's because the members have had their say, but at least they've had an opportunity to be heard.
Yeah, I think I agree with that, but at the end of the day, you still need a vast variety of skills, as you have rightly put out.
Absolutely.
A lawyer, an accountant, a media person, a revenue raiser, etc. So whichever way you get there, you do need to have a wide variety of skills on the board for it to function at best.
Absolutely. And Tim Shearer has been working very hard on getting funding for the Kennedy Centre. But also, he could work less hard if there were 40% women on the board, because we would get government funding.
How much government funding would you get?
$15 million.
Gee. That'd sway me, Scoop. $15 million.
Well, I'm just... Yeah.
I've been out past the Kennedy Centre many times, going out to Din San to get a few flowers. And it's a big area. It's going to need a lot of money.
Yes, that's right.
So why would they overlook $15 million, Jared?
I don't know the answer to that.
It's probably a question for Jeff.
Well, I think it's probably a question for the next chairman or president.
So what's the process now, Jennifer? You've got voting soon and then the results?
No, so voting's
December,
open.
Okay, December 14 results, is that right?
Yeah, that's right. So voting's open until the 12th. We had an update today. We've only had 11% of members vote, which is really disappointing. Of the 44,000 eligible members, we've only had 11%. They've got 2 weeks from today. We find out 2 weeks today about this time. Voting closes on the 12th.
Okay, thank you for coming in. We really
appreciate
it.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate it. Thank you.
Jennifer Holdstock there, Hawthorne board aspirant. A lot happening there on the Hawthorne board. A lot happening with the Collingwood board, which we still... She haven't got a result from, by the way.
Might have some more information on that tomorrow night, the Collingwood board scenario. I've got someone who wants to come on and have a chat as well.
Is it Jeff?
It's not Jeff at the moment, no.
Someone else. Okay, it's becoming board week.
It could well be.
I like it.
It's B-O-A-R-D.
A-R-D, not B-O-R-E-D. More Sports Day after this.
A sports update for Tyre Power. Here to help you stay safe on the road.
I think the best thing about the Roosters is they can tell you how they're going to help you in life rather than... help you in footy, because the footy, if your life's good, footy's good. And bro, it was just mind-blowing. I was just looking at the Roosters jersey, as you were saying, and I was had like goosebumps. I was looking at it going, I want to win a premiership in that jersey. At the Storm, bro, like, drinking's a massive part of the culture. So
sick.
We had a beer pong competition, and Scott at my house and Scott Drinkwater, we were playing beer pong, but Dale was blind, and Scott kept like pouring vodka into his beer cups. And, bro, he drank a bottle of vodka in, like, 32 minutes.
Oh.
Like, a whole bottle.
Welcome back to Sports Day. That's a professional athlete talking about the club that he's still playing at. Quote, unquote, a drinking culture. And I've had my fair share of beer pong games, Jared. And I'm not saying I'm any angel, but a bottle of vodka in 32 minutes is pretty good going. We're not trying to make light of that, obviously not. But that I am absolutely flabbergasted that he was not sacked the next day. And that's not a criticism of Justin Rodsky and the Melbourne Storm, who we, you know, love here on this show. It's just a personal opinion of, maybe it's an NRL versus AFL thing, Jared. I'm not sure.
Yeah, well, even if you exclude the drinking games and the alcohol culture, we know that there's drinking at all levels of AFL football in its appropriate time.
All levels of the world.
But it's more he wants to play in the Roosters jumper and the heritage of the Roosters jumper.
And win a flag there.
If you look at the both clubs over the last two decades, Melbourne Storm's been the standout club of with one or two others, of all sporting codes in this country.
Yeah, and
so he's won a flag with them. I mean,
and has had an impeccable record off the field for those two decades, up until about 4 months ago, in which he has been involved in both.
And they supported him really strongly when he was with the White Powder.
Absolutely. I thought the club handled itself.
So they supported him. He's got loose on a podcast, which happens way too often, it would appear to me. But
well, go on podcast. Just don't pour acid on your teammates.
Now he's got egg on his face. He's got egg on the club's face. And
I feel bad for
him. I'm a bit with you. There's a long way for him to walk back before he's accepted at that
footy. I feel bad for his teammates, to be honest. I'd love to know what his teammates are thinking right now, because a lot of them would be mates with him. They'd be pissed off.
Yeah, and he's a good player.
I mean, he's a great player.
He's a hell of a player, but gee, it's a big load to carry into a season.
Hey, speaking of good players, you started this and we've been keeping up to date with Hound Wars.
Oh, yeah.
Tom Brown versus Mitch Cleary. So Mitch got the heads up from...
we've got an AFL ladder next year for the Hounds. I like it. From 40 and unders.
Mitch obviously
got... which you're one.
Mitch obviously got a heads up, Jared, from Airport Watchers, that Jordan Ngoi was arriving in Sydney from New York.
Yes.
This morning. So Channel 7, they sent him up to Sydney. He got the suit on. He was all ready.
A bit like an Adele interview.
He found this... Yeah, it might have been a little bit more prepared.
Hello.
Thank you. Zoe, in form.
Yeah, good.
In the build-up to the Christmas party, if you like that. Unfortunately, Mitch didn't quite get the answers from Jordan that he was hoping for.
Jordy, looking forward to being back in Australia, mate?
Sorry, mate. I won't be saying anything. Thanks.
Well... I reckon he's done well. He's the only one there. He was always going to get the...
No, there was a Channel 9 reporter there as well.
I didn't see that. Did they get an answer?
No, they didn't get it. I'm not sure she asked a question.
Okay, well, anyway...
I apologise, by the way, me saying she. I don't actually know who that reporter was, the Sydney reporter. I mean, well done on Geordie for saying that, but...
Well, what'd he do? He did nothing. He just said... He clammed up.
He could have said a little
bit. I think well done on Mitch Cleary for finding out and putting the microphone under his head, and well done by Jordan by keeping his...
No, of course, we are Team Mitch on this show. You know that. But I'm just saying, if you were the boss of Channel 7 News in Melbourne and you'd sent him up there and he came back with a tape of... So I won't be saying anything right now.
You'd be a little bit flat. We're talking about it, Scoop.
It's all about the pitches. Mitch Cleary, Hound Wars. Tom Brown, it's going to be big next. So is Travis Head. Is he going to play in the first test? Haven't heard him ask this anywhere else. He's going to join us next. Newspaper editors, Jared. They're strange people. It's coming from the son of a former one. I can't help you there. Welcome back to Sports Day. We're powered by Red Energy. Canstar's most trusted energy retailer. And for Kia, the all-new Kia Sportage has been unleashed. Travis Head. He's been in all the headlines recently, Jared. Is he going to be the man that leads Australia's middle order and bats at five? Or is it going to be Usman Khawaja? Now, Australia and Australia A were supposed to play in an intra-club, essentially, in a three-day practice match starting tomorrow. Would you believe it? It's going to be called off because it's too wet in Queensland at Redlands Cricket Club.
Which makes it difficult for anyone to put their hand up and put their best bat forward. Travis Head joins us on the line, though. Travis, welcome to you. And at least one thing is great, and that you're in the reckoning.
Yeah, exactly right. Thank you for having me. Like I said, over the last couple of weeks, it's obviously an exciting time, but with most of the team announced, it hasn't given much of the press to talk about too much. So good to see me and Uzi to give everyone a talk to hang about. And a few weeks ago, it was six or seven guys that were in that chat.
Yep.
Now it's down to Uzi and myself, and give myself the best opportunity and prepare as best I can for that first day of that first test. And if I get the nod, then be ready to go.
You'd have to be in front, Jared, wouldn't you?
So it's like a presidential election, this one, Travis. You've got 1 minute to give us your very best. Sell us and the Australian sporting public why the selectors should give you the nod.
I've been asked that a few times already, which is quite funny.
Well, you've had practice. Now you can refine it and bring it down to a couple of short sentences. You are in because
100,
of...
100 a couple of days ago. I got 100 a couple of days ago. There you go.
That's perfect. You're in form.
Simplest way. I think we're both in form, which is a good thing about the squad at the moment, is that everyone's in good touch. I know that's pretty straight bat, but Uzi's had a fantastic year. I've come in some touch in the last week and done some hard work and spent a bit of time out in the middle of the other day. So, whoever they go with, we're going to be in great touch, and that's the most important part, is making sure we start the series extremely well.
Have you joked about this whole situation with Usman, or is it not quite not awkward enough to be joking about it yet?
No, I've got the same question. I joked about it when I come out of BC. They said, give us your recommendation of Uzi, and Uzi is going to give his of mine. So, yep. For me. So, it was a bit of fun and laughter. But we get along really, really well. And I always said that the other day. And, we have a great relationship. We've played a lot of cricket against each other and a fair bit of cricket with each other over the years, and have a good relationship. So, I think we're both in the same position where we know we're both in form. It could go either way. And we'll support whoever that will be. That we know that each other got each other's backs and support.
So, Travis, I know I made light of it earlier in the interview about the inclement weather in Queensland making it tough. But the serious side of that is that it sort of hurts your preparation. We're only 8 days out now. The more cricket you can get in, the more time out in the middle before that, the better, I guess.
Yeah, it's been pretty grim today. We've been pretty much in the hotel. We just had a fair bit of content day today, getting all the media stuff done and the footage and the big screen and all that stuff done today. So not a bad one to be indoors but the next 3 days, obviously we had the game, but it's going to be pretty light in the next couple of days, I think. And I think different for different people. I've just come off of a lot of guys come off of a lot of the Shield cricket. We had a one-day game a couple of days ago. So coming off two or three on the bounce, it's nice to have a couple of days to refresh, go to the gym, work on a few things, a little bit technique stuff indoors isn't a bad thing, but also the guys that are coming out of quarantine, it's going to be important for them over the next 6 or 7 days to get outdoors. I know they've had that, and we're catching up in a few minutes to go downstairs, so I'll see most of the boys, but what I've heard is that the Gold Coast was awesome when the sun was out, and they got plenty of work outdoors. They had great facilities, so and the guys that are up there are seriously professional. Whenever they had the opportunity, I'm sure they used it. So I think everyone is in a pretty good space.
You're still a relatively young man, 27 going on 28 the back end of December.
Very young.
You've played 19 matches. You've been in and out to some degree. Where do you reckon you need to, outside of just getting more runs, what do you need to tighten up to make yourself a regular for the next decade?
Yeah, I think a lot is compared to the same period of Shield cricket for me, getting in, getting starts and going on and getting big scores and contributing to wins for Australia. That's the feedback I've received, and, mm-hmm. and to go back and work on a few technical things, but that's pretty much a given. I think you always go back and you find a way to obviously be really consistent and solid in Shield cricket. I've been able to do that for 3 or 4 years now. It's trying to emulate that Test cricket now and take the same jump and become a consistent performer for Australia in Test cricket. And that has its challenges, obviously. 19 Test matches, it's a step up. You understand the game at a very high-pressure situation. So I've worked extremely hard on my technique and a few different things. In your memory bank as much as you possibly can over 19 Test matches, you talk to the other senior players that have played the game. Mm. And then you try to make every post a winner. When I get that opportunity, fingers crossed that I can get a big score, be able to do that over the last couple of seasons in Shield cricket. So it's about going out and knowing you've done the work and being able to go relaxed and go out and play calmly and play the way you want to play. And hopefully the 2 or 3 years that I've had in the system in Test cricket, the lessons I've learned, the lessons I've put into practice in Shield cricket can hold me in good stead to get that big score to push Australia into a winning position and win games of cricket for Australia.
So there's two big calls that the selectors have got to make. One's whether it's you or Uzi, and the other one is whether it's going to be the keeper. When do you find out?
Well, we've just gotten to camp, so I think over the next couple of days, obviously, I think it would have all played out over the next few days, obviously, with the practice game, the internal game. I think that would have probably shown in the teams that they selected. Now, that's not the case, but I'm sure over the next couple of days, as a group, we'll come together, or George will come together and make that decision. I'm not sure when it will be public or when that will be, but we got a couple of days at the moment just to settle in. They haven't been as a group for a fair while now, the Test team, so it's going to be nice to see the faces again. I know the boys got our quarantine today, so over the next few days I'm sure we'll have those conversations of where it takes us, and they've been really open and honest in making sure that we're best prepared, so when that decision's been made, it will be made.
Do you think, given that Mark McGowan has impacted the cricket world,
please refer to him by his proper name,
the Cowboy has imposed a 14-day quarantine instead of the 5-day quarantine, do you think that will mean there'll be no Perth test?
Yeah, I've seen bits and pieces. I'm not 100% sure on all that at this stage. you'd think, yeah, it's going to be tough. I think a few people have come out of that. I think it's flipped a little bit over the last 2 weeks about the Tassie Test match.
Yep.
I've only really read stuff or seen stuff, so I don't really know the ins and outs from inside the camp either. So I'm sure that will play out over the next little bit. But again, we've got a fair bit of time before that, four pretty important Test matches before that. So we know where we are in the next couple. And I'm sure, like we've seen this, it's a changing landscape all the time. Things change day to day, week to week. So fingers crossed everything goes smooth sailing, and that's the only thing we have to worry about, because it's a fair way away and there's a fair bit of water going to that bridge. So let's see where we get to.
Travis, what dynamic do you think Pat Cummins will bring as skipper?
Well, I've spoken a bit about him today. He's consistent. You know what you're going to get from him on the field. I think we see that with him, the way his performance is, the way he puts in, the effort that he brings to the table. And that's, as a leader, I think that's the most important thing. You've got to own your performance. You've got to lead from the front, which he does every time, no matter the conditions, no matter the situation of the game. He's giving himself 100% to the team, and then on the off field, he's pretty all round package. PR dream. He's just so consistent in his behaviour, I guess. He's the way he builds relationship, his communication is fantastic. So I think we'll get a pretty calm Pat Cummins throughout the series. I know he's come out and said he's going to need to lean on others. We've definitely got a great group here of guys that he can lean into, and we can help him along the way if he needs it. But on the same side, I think everyone backs him in a cricket brain and the way he can deliver the brand or the style that him and JL want to take this Australian cricket team. So I think he's got that full backing of the group. He's got huge respect within the group. But we're also here if he needs a hand. So I'm looking forward to what that looks like over the next couple of months and what that looks like over this Test series. It's going to be a great challenge for him. I haven't seen him yet, but I know he's thoroughly excited about that. And I think this could be another stepping stone, not only in his leadership, but also the way he plays the game and what he brings to us, and it could take him to another level. We see a lot of guys, once they get that leadership role or whatnot, it takes their game to a new level. So it'll be amazing to see if that's the case with Pat, because it's already pretty good.
Have you reached out to Tim Payne?
Yeah, bits and pieces. Not so much over the last little bit. And now we've got into camp and things have been pretty hectic in everyone's life, I think, at the moment with everything that's going on and with our game time and everything. So I just think we'll let the duff settle and I'll speak to him over the next week. I have got a great relationship with Tim. I seen him a couple of weeks ago in Tassie when we had the Shield game, caught up with him for feed. So, I think a lot of the guys have been in and out of conversations with him that I can imagine that from my side of things, it's been pretty hectic for him at the moment. So I just think let things settle in, and I'm always here to reach out to him.
And Travis, can I just ask you out of interest, late on day five and you're batting at the crease to save a test, which England bowler would you least like to be facing?
That's a good question. Probably the one that, having been in that situation in England, Jofra was incredibly difficult. He was just unbelievable. And he's not here, which is not a bad thing. For me personally, I guess the challenges I had with him over the summer and having played with him at Sussex, I've seen it firsthand how dangerous it could be. But I think probably Ben Stokes. You've got obviously Broad, Anderson, you've got the Givens, but Brent Stokes brings a different dynamic. I think that his willingness to compete as hard as he possibly can to get a victory. We've seen throughout the Ashes last time we played him in England, some of the spells he bowled, long spells, just didn't give in. And he's got that wicket-taking ability. He's got that X-factor ability where he can do something special out of absolutely nowhere. So I think Broad, Anderson, Ollie Robinson have got their givens because they're so skillful. But that X factor player, I think someone that you know in the back of your mind has got something pretty special in them is difficult to face.
One final one from me, Travis. You made 101 against the Queenslanders a couple of days ago, which enables you to say you made a century. Do you think your chances of playing Test cricket this coming game on Wednesday week are more enhanced by making 101 than they would be if you made 99?
Not at all. I think it's obviously great. I don't think it has much difference whether I got a duck or 100, to be honest.
Okay.
I think the selectors would look over, I think as a player, I think they would look over a period of time. Yep. They'd look over, they don't look at a one innings. So it would be hard. It'd be tough to swallow if you took it on one innings. and especially on that wicket, that it was nice to spend some time out there, no doubt, and get 100. That doesn't do his chances any harm. But I think over a period of time, over this season or two or three seasons, that's why the conversation is still so strong over myself. And there's been a period of time where we've both played extremely well. We've had great, and I know George said the same thing. You can't get runs every time. So if they look at it over a period of time, it's still pretty close. And
You've got your head in front here, if I can use that word, because you've done a great job with us and given us plenty of time. Good luck, and
thanks, Travis.
No doubt you'll be playing in the baggy green at some stage this summer. Let's hope it's next Wednesday.
Thanks, Travis.
Look forward to it. Thanks, guys. Cheers.
Travis Head on Sports Day. You are listening to Sports Day. Jared Healy and Sam McClure with you for the next hour. We've got the Melbourne Demons Club review, the season
That'll
review for 2021. That'll be easy. Everything went well. They won the flag. Nothing to improve on. But we're just about to get to the Melbourne Storm review of the last few days. They haven't had... For a club that's very squeaky clean, Jared, they've had a rough few months.
Time for the Storm to contribute to a little bit of the brouhaha off-season and contributing probably a little more excessively than they would like.
It's usually the Queenslanders and the New South Welshmen that get into the most trouble.
Yeah, well, they've got the most clubs. They just share it around a little bit more than us.
We're also going to be speaking to Peter Johnson, all things tennis. Leighton Hewitt's had some things to say about the Davis Cup format and where it's going to be played. We know that there's plenty to talk about with Novak's, and that is the man that's no longer coming to the Australian Open. But let's start with the Melbourne Storm. We're just about to speak to Adrian Prezenko, who's the chief rugby league reporter at the Sydney Morning Herald. We only speak to chiefs on this show, you know that. But if you're not across what's happened with Brandon Smith, star at the Melbourne Storm, contracted until the end of next year, he went on a podcast talking about the club culture, amongst other things, and had this to say.
I think that the best thing about the Roosters is they can tell you how they're going to help you in life rather than help you in footy, because the footy, if your life's good, footy's good. And it was just mind-blowing. I was just looking at the Roosters jersey, as he was saying, and I was had like goosebumps. I was looking at it going, I want to win a premiership in that jersey. At the Storm, bro. Like, drinking's a massive part of the culture. So
sick.
We had a beer pong competition, and Scott at my house and Scott Drinkwater, we were playing beer pong, but Dale was blind, and Scott kept like pouring vodka into his beer cups, and bro, he drank a bottle of vodka in like 32 minutes.
Oh,
like a whole bottle.
He also went on to say that drinking was part of the culture of the Melbourne Storm, which prompted Justin Rodsky, their CEO, to say that recent comments made by Brandon in a podcast and the way he expressed them do not align with the Storm's values and the way we operate as a club. The statements have deeply offended current and former players, coaches, staff and board members, and the club strongly rejects the comments made about the Storm culture. This is a guy who's contracted, Jared, until the end of next year.
It's a very weird situation when you consider, and I say this without full knowledge, but my gut feel is if you compared the last two decades of Melbourne Storm's history to the last two decades of the Chooks' history, you would find that the Melbourne Storm, I think, has had a far better strike rate than the Roosters. Nevertheless, let's move on to a bloke who can put some detail around this, the chief rugby league writer of the Sydney Morning Herald. He's got a name a little bit like Alex Jezelenko, you beauty, but it's Adrian Prezenko, you beauty. Welcome to you, Alan. Thank you, Adrian. Welcome to you.
What an intro. Thank you guys for having me.
Have you ever heard by any chance of the great Alex Jezelenko, who was a very famous...
He couldn't not have.
Well, I suspect
even,
he probably
even
has.
I, as a rigid Sydney sider and rugby league tragic, have heard of Jezelenko Prezenko. Yes, no, he sounds like a good fella.
Indeed, he is.
Adrian, sounds like a good fella.
A second question, and this goes across not just this interview or that interview, but why is it that people make deals of themselves on podcasts more than any other medium?
Great question.
That is a good question. And look, it's not just podcasts. I think it's social media in general, and particularly in rugby league. And we see a lot of this in Sydney. If you don't post it, it didn't happen. And the funny thing is rugby league players do a lot of very silly things. And I suppose it's like, you know, if a tree falls in the woods and no one's around to hear, does it make a sound? But because they are recording this stuff and then posting and reposting it, and we've seen some instances, you know, with the Penrith Panthers where, you know, they went on and won the competition and their celebrations have been sullied somewhat by some of the stuff that they've posted.
Yep.
You just wonder, why do it? I don't understand it. Maybe it's a generational thing and I'm too old for all of that sort of stuff. But, yeah, I don't know why that happened.
He spoke very glowingly of the heritage of Eastern Suburbs stroke the Roosters. Tell me, who's had the best heritage and the best history over 20 years? Because it would be hard to beat the Melbourne Storm, I would have thought.
I think he spoke a little bit too glowingly about the Roosters, you know, for the likes of the Storm power brokers. And in fact, that there were some people at the Storm that were so incensed with the way he conducted himself during that podcast and during sort of contract negotiations in general, that there was actually some thought of packing him up, and he was so keen to go to Bondi Junction, you know, maybe they could ship him off early. And, you know, they could sort of cop the fact that he was publicly shopping himself around the Eastern Seaboard, and he'd been seen out publicly, you know, with the Dolphins and Titans and all sorts of clubs. But he did promise to them that he would give them the last crack at retaining his services, and he didn't do that, and they were very upset. And, you know, look, you talk about club culture, and, you know, Storm clearly have one of the best. And I think that the thing that underscores that the most is that sometimes average or middling rugby league players go there and they become better under Craig Bellamy.
Yep.
And they've got a wonderful system, you know, just a terrific culture that's in place. And, you know, I think that's what upset the Storm so much about, you know, what Brandon said, is that they only found out that he was going to the Roosters via this podcast, in which he said, you know, the Storm had a drinking culture, and he was, you know, going on endlessly about how, you know, how he loves the Roosters culture. I mean, he's won competitions at the Storm.
Mm.
And I can tell you that Craig Bellamy, Frank Panisi and Matt Tripp, who are arguably the best in the business at what they do, their heads almost exploded when they heard some of the stuff that he was saying. And look, and you've got to remember too that the club gave a lot of support to Brandon. He was of course one of the three Storm players involved in that white powder scandal, yeah, whatever it was, talcum powder or whiskies, or I guess we'll never know. But they didn't sanction him over that. They gave him a lot of support, and they thought the least that he could do is, if he did want to move on, that he could tell them first, and you know, that he fulfill his promise of at least letting them, you know, have a last crack at his services. So, you know, he has, you know, Brandon has issued an apology subsequently, and it's probably not the grovelling one that most expected. He said that, you know, the drinking stuff was taken out of context, and he said, you know, I'm sorry I've offended you, but I'm still going to be me. Basically, I'm still going to tell it the way it is and speak my mind. So, yeah, I can understand them being very, very tender at the Storm right now. And when he goes back on December 7th for the start of pre-season training, I think it might be a bit of a frosty reception for Brandon Smith.
Yes, it's. I'm a bit, I must admit, of the view they should give him the flick. Frank Panisi has never, ever knocked us back in, how long has he been there? 10, 12, 13, 15, I don't know. But the Godfather has been there, and he's been on this show for as long as I can remember.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been doing it too long, and I can remember a long way back. He's never, ever, ever, Adrian, knocked us back. But I think he was so angry with this, he didn't trust himself, Scoop, to come on the program.
He's pretty honest.
Well, look, there's a couple of issues there. I think that there was, you know, I've spoken to some people at the Storm, and they were fuming, and there was some serious thought about, you know, sending him on his way. But there's a couple of issues that have conspired against that, and there's a cloud over the futures of Tui Kamakamita and also Nelson Asofa Solomona for very different reasons. And, you know, the Roosters couldn't accommodate also Brandon Smith immediately under the salary cap. So they still needed Brandon, and they probably couldn't let him go early from that perspective. But, you know, he had to, obviously, he's going to have to come in cap in hand and you know, repair some relationships that are really strained at the moment. And, yeah, it'll be interesting to see if he's able to do that.
Yeah, I'm not sure how you can do it, to be honest. He's thrown him under the bus. He's leaving. He's going to be himself. He's going to tell it as it is, which is always his.
How would you have gone, Jared, if he was one of your teammates? I mean, this situation for me tells us the biggest differences between the NRL and the AFL. And I'm not saying one's right and one's wrong, but like the NRL a year out say, I'm going to go play with this club, but I'm spending the rest of the year there. Everyone seems to be okay with it. Couldn't happen in the AFL. If this was an AFL player, he would have been gone the next day.
I think the AFL can deal with people saying they're not going to be there the following year. I think we've got to that point. I know it hasn't happened at the present time, but I reckon we're not far away.
Okay.
But whether it's AFL, NRL, the local tennis club.
But how would you have gone? If you were playing footy in Sydney for the Swans and someone had done this, he's gone through a drug scandal and he's gone on a podcast, and said, actually, there's a drinking culture at the club. I can't
wait
to play.
Well, if I knew
he
was going the next year, I'd ship him off now.
What? Well, yeah.
I must admit, I'm not sure, Adrian, this is going to end well, but who knows? Maybe is there a bargaining chip that they can use him for? It's just open slather in rugby league, and that may well change with the draft coming up potentially, but it's a really interesting decision. They've got their immediate future, but sometimes when you keep an apple that's, you know,
rotting,
yeah, on the verge of being a bit rotten, you might as well just cut your losses.
Yeah, it's really interesting because it highlights the, you know, NRL transfer system and the way that works at the moment. And you've got to remember that Brandon Smith's not alone in that. We've also had some other very high profile guys in Viliami Kikau and Reid Marnie and Isaiah Papali'i all commit to another club while still under contract for at least a year. And that was a big talking point. The NRL launched its All-Stars game at Parramatta in Sydney today, and this is the only thing that anyone wanted to talk about. And, Andrew Abdo, the NRL CEO, was there, and he said, look, yeah, there are some pain points under the current rules. You know, we want to have a look at that. But I can tell you right now, nothing's going to happen for at least 12 months. Mm. There's 12 months to go under the current collective bargaining agreement. And in order for them to change anything, they need the buy-in of the players. And I can tell you, having just got off the phone to the boss of the Rugby League Players Association, Clint Newton, there's not a hell of a lot of appetite for change from their perspective. They like the system the way it is now. It gives the players the most flexibility. And he said to me, well, look, you know, we're happy to look at anything, but one, the NRL haven't tabled us anything to consider, and two, we haven't seen anything around the world, whether it be in the EPL or the NBA or any of the other major sporting codes, that's better than what we have. And he said that, you know, all of those other systems have their own problems and also cause fan angst for various reasons. So it's not a fait accompli that all of a sudden the NRL says, oh, this, you know, we want to change it and it's not working. Mm. They could be at loggerheads. And I guess the other thing that's worth talking about too is, you know, should Brandon Smith be fined? And we know that the NRL is looking into this, and it's a really interesting situation in that we in the media lament that players are all robots and they don't show any of their personality, but is getting on a podcast and dropping the, you know, Emily Seabomb and a whole heap of F-bombs as well, what we want as well. It's just finding that balance. So there's a tricky line for them to tread right there.
Yeah, that last point's a really interesting one. I actually think it's not that hard a line to tread, Jared. I would encourage all athletes to do their own podcasts and be a little bit more of themselves and show a different side of themselves.
Yeah,
but
it's not difficult to show your other side and your character, but if you trash your teammates...
That's right. It's not difficult to, A, not swear, and B, not pour acid on the blokes that you've been trying to digging through mud with to try to win a flag. I mean, that's not that difficult,
is it?
It's
a weird revelation from our good friend at the Storm. Can you tell me whether Mitchell Pearce will stay in rugby league here in Australia, or is he going to be allowed to ship off, I think it was to France, to sign up a fairly significant contract?
He is gone.
He's gone.
On his way. Yes, he'll be joining Catalan. So there was, a little bit of to and fro as to whether or not the Newcastle Knights would release him. But ultimately, and this comes down to, you know, one of the themes, you know, if a player doesn't want to be where he is, it's very hard for a club to enforce it. He's coming to the back end of his career. He only had one more year to go at the Newcastle Knights, whereas he was offered a very long and lucrative deal with Catalan. So they decided, you know, there's no point keeping him if he doesn't want to be there.
Have you rated his career? He's clearly had some big highs. He's had a lot of lows. Great heritage. His old man was one of the stars of the game. He's battled in that limelight to a degree. Where did you rate it?
Well, look, he's a guy that, as you mentioned, much maligned, but when you look at it, he's played in excess of 300 games. He's won a premiership with the Roosters. He's also been part of an Origin Series victory, belatedly, very late in his career.
Yeah.
He had plenty of cracks at it and didn't get the job done. So, and he was, you know, lampooned for that. He's had to come from under his father's shadow too. Wayne Pearce is one of the, you know, most famous names in rugby league history, but he carved out, quite an incredible career in his own right.
Yep.
You know, he did find some trouble, you know, during his career. And look, to his credit, he owned a lot of the mistakes. And the sort of things that, you know, the incidents that he was involved in for the most part were fairly minor. But, you know, he was a very good player. But, you know, he probably got found out. You saw in that last game against Parramatta, he probably didn't stand up as much as he needed to. And he had some personal things going on in his life in that final season, which took their toll. And I think he just needed a sea change. It's probably a good thing for him. The difficulty for Newcastle is now at this very late juncture, trying to find someone that's capable of replacing him. And there's not too many like-for-like replacements. You know, halfbacks are, you know, quality ones in particular, are very rare in the NRL, and that's why they get top dollar. So that's a real challenge for them. There was some talk initially at the Knights that maybe a Kalyn Ponga would consider shifting into the halves, but I think, you know, they've decided he's going to stay at fullback. So there's a big spot there to be filled in the Newcastle number seven.
Okay, well, we're more interested in the Melbourne Storm rather than Newcastle. We've got our own problems down here, but that was one of the finest reports that we have ever had from a rugby league person, so much so that I think it deserves this sort of outing.
I don't think he's going to play it, Mike. You're spot on.
Okay, to the wing position on the member stand side. Oh, Jasolenko! Your beauty!
Prosenko, your beauty! Mike Williamson would have done it much better than me, but good on you, Adrian.
Thanks,
and
Adrian.
Love to chat to you again through the year.
The outro was better than the intro. Anytime, boys. Thank
All the
you
best.
Very much.
Adrian Prosenko there, who I just picked up a little bit too much joy in talking about the demise.
Fine.
No, I'm just only kidding. He's one of the best. He's Adrian.
Brandon.
No, that one stinks. More sports after this. Welcome back to Sports Day. We're here for Red Energy, Cairns' most trusted energy retailer nationally for 2021. And for Wilson Homes, you can enjoy the Tassie summer in your brand new Wilson Homes. Just some positive feedback for Adrian Prosenko, or Adrian Jasolenko, you beauty. He was great. It was a great report on Brandon Smith, and plenty happening in that situation. There's plenty happening. What was that for?
That's all you need to do to introduce our next guest.
What's Jono been doing for cash?
Not Jono. You have taken to the bank the fact that Novak Djokovic will not be playing.
Yep.
And I suspect most people are on your team. Let's find out what team Jono's on. Welcome to you, Jono.
Nice.
Hi, Jerry. Hi, Sam. Good to talk to you.
You, at this stage, if you join the opposition to Scoop Take It to the Bank McClure... We'll be one of a small minority in this country. Is there any chance that Novak will be here defending or trying to win his 10th Australian Open?
Well, first of all, I've got amazing respect for Sam's Take It to the Bank. I think you've got a track record which is impeccable. But and your sources may well be better than mine, but I still hold some hope, guys.
Ooh.
I still think... Mm. There's a bit to play out here. And
how would it happen, though, Jono? Are you suggesting that he may, in fact, get vaccinated late?
Well, possibly he's been vaccinated. That's another element to it. I don't really see a bending of the rules. I mean, the Premier's been so...
That's not going to happen. Take that to the bank.
Yeah.
Djokovic is the one who has to... He's the one who has to bend now.
There's no way... He's either going to premier or stop button.
He's either going to produce.
No.
I think the only chance there is of some bending of the rule will be what's an acceptable vaccination. If it's something from the goblins down in the back of the garden that some suggest that the anti-vaccine campaign may think is good enough.
Or
from Vlad. Mm. Not sure about Vlad the chemist.
Yeah.
Or
he's had COVID.
Yes, doesn't matter.
Whether some tournaments have been allowing fans on the basis that you can show evidence of double vax or having had COVID.
But the Australian Open is not one of those tournaments, Jono.
No, understood. But I'm still not sure that he hasn't been vaxxed.
If he's been vaxxed and he and his father have been pork chop, then
he
should
being,
stay out of Australia
he is
anyway.
Being what? If he has been vaxxed, he is being what?
Well, it starts with F. I don't know. There's a lot of things I could think of.
Okay, I would have thought something. Is it obtuse the right word?
Well, it's a...
Well, he's being a... No, I won't say that.
Go on, Jono.
It's the right to keep it private, I guess, is the issue versus the vax itself. So that's, you know, I guess none of us are sure really if he has been vaxxed. And I think
the right to keep it private. How come he's the only professional tennis player in the world that is standing on his digs about the privacy of vaccination? Did you get vaccinated for polio when you were about six and hepatitis and measles, etc.?
All of those.
I mean, do you feel like it's an invasion on your privacy that we all accept that you've been vaccinated and you probably put your hand up and say you did like you just did? Well, it's a nonsense.
Yeah.
He's either been vaccinated or he hasn't. Put your hand up.
He's the number one tennis player in the world. He may be the best tennis player we've ever seen. And he's carrying on as if it's some sort of private matter. I'm sorry, Novak, if you think that, but you're incorrect. If you would like it to be private, then you need to find a new profession.
Oh, that's strong from Scoop.
Well, seriously, like these people are living on different planets. I think these are about AFL footballers, Jared. We're talking about a guy who may be, right now, the best athlete on the planet.
Mm.
That's not being too dramatic, is it?
Sam, I think he's also trying to weave in a broader point. Okay, there's about the privacy, but remember, this will be the first tournament that is mandated, that's gone ahead, that's mandated that players must be fully vaxxed before entry.
Yeah,
and it's actually quite groundbreaking that the tour has accepted it, and both tours have accepted it. And really, I think it's probably changing the game. And I heard Craig Tiley the other day sort of saying how that's increased the amount of levels of vaccination. I think there's no doubt about that. But it's kind of an overall principle that I think Novak's trying to convey is, well, to what degree should there be this edict? And then where the tours come out is, well, it's actually we have to back to make a way forward over for the tours over the next couple of years. We really have to go with whatever the government advice is the ultimate or the government sort of ruling is what we're going to have to play with. We can't. And if this is going to happen, because let's say you have to go, if you go to the US at the moment, you have to be vaccinated to get in the country. You know, tournaments, if you don't go with what the government's doing, you're going to have to cancel tournaments in the US, for example.
Yeah,
so I think it's all part of a broader point that he's...
Are you supportive of the broader point?
Yes.
Look, I feel like we have no choice. I mean, I think the tour has been limping along for 2 years. There's been lots of tournaments cancelled. We haven't played in China for 2 years. It's not like we're instantly out of it. Vaccinations is the key to being out of it. So for the tour ultimately to go ahead, I think there has to be the acceptance that government rules rule, if you like. But having said it, Jared, I do think it does need an assessment of, say, how points are done, because points are based on it being an equal playing field. Like, let's say, for example, Lloyd Harris, ranked about 30-odd South African guy, at the moment, he couldn't come to Australia in any shape or form because of the way it's what's happening with the latest variant. So, you know, does the tour then adapt rankings based on field strength? I think they're the things that need to be discussed in the next stanza.
Well, why doesn't he use his position of leadership to make that broader point rather than be one man out making a point that's irrelevant, given that every country that, or given that a large majority of sports have mandated you've got to get vaxxed.
And allowing his father to shoot bullets for him on Serbian TV, comments that were nothing short of propaganda.
Well, I still think we will see a statement from Novak. Look, where he's been the last couple of weeks. He's played the finals in Torino. He's played Davis Cup, where he's been in Torino, and now he's in Madrid. It's kind of, that's the focus. And he has always said, I will say something when it's time. Also, when I see the Australian position. So he's starting to see the Australian position. I think he's still in competition, but next week he's out of competition. And I think that's where we'll see his statement.
So he's got to make a call by mid-December, because that's when the
It doesn't really though, Sam. I mean, I think he'd struggle not to get a wild card, wouldn't he?
But the entries...
It's about getting a double vax. If he's unvaxxed, entries
a non-issue, in my opinion, what I'm saying, because you can always get a wild card.
Yeah, no, it's not the entry. It's the fact that is he double vaxxed? And if he's going to be double vaxxed, he needs to get his first jab.
One of the great stories of all time, he got to mid-December and said, oh, by the way, I'm double vaxxed, have been since July. I've just been making the point that we shouldn't have to. Imagine that.
Well, I think we're going to have...
It could happen, though, Sam. It could happen.
Well, he's not the only one. Kelly Slater is adamant that he won't be getting double vaxxed. He won't be going to Bells Beach. He thinks it's a disease for the young and for the old and frail.
Mm-hmm.
And in a very large part, that's true, but it's not enough.
The death toll certainly targets them. Yep.
Yeah, but it's not true enough to, I think, preclude others getting vaccination, because we have seen deaths and serious illness in all age groups. So it's an interesting point from Kelly, and I think you can take it to the bank. He won't be at Bells Beach next Easter.
Jono, great to have you on. We're running out of time.
No, well, this Davis Cup goes beyond running out of time. Doesn't matter what Lawrence is saying out there. He's already had a bad night tonight. Move on. Davis Cup, have we trashed it enough, or is there any life left in it?
I think there's life in it.
Good.
And, I'll tell you why. I think, first of all, I think what's happened is that, okay, we can't look backwards, because the way it's going to be funded in the next couple of years is most likely through money through the Middle East. I think otherwise it doesn't have a future at all. I think, therefore, you have to sort of go with the situation that there's going to be certain conditions they're going to want to make it work. But I think there's enough in it to make it work. I think if you can create a stand, like a central point, and focus that on being every year at the same time and really pump it up, I think it has a chance, because I've seen the passion that's been on this week. I've actually found it very engaging. And I think some of these teams, okay, Australia, we've got the history of home and away so often and best of five sets, and we've won it 28 times. But some of these countries are just loving this, and that's why. But they've got to clear up, Jared and Sam, the big issue of it takes too long at the wrong end of the season. I mean, these guys are going to play, and then 4 weeks later be expected to turn around and get down to Australia. They've got to clear some of these issues on format, etc. But I do feel like it has a future.
Well, that's good news, John. I appreciate your time and sticking around to get to the Davis Cup after Scoop whacked Novak.
Pleasure, guys.
Peter Johnson there. Did I whack him,
Throwing haymakers.
Double-handed backhand.
That was a little jab.
No, that was a serious whack for you.
No, it wasn't. He's...
Let's just hope we're not talking about it this time next week. We've got to move on.
Novak is really beginning to grind my gears.
I can see that. I can hear and I can feel that.
More Sports Day after this. Welcome back to Sports Day. You're here for Red Energy, Cairns' most trusted energy retailer. And for Wilson Homes, you can enjoy the Tassie summer in your brand new Wilson home. Time for a deep breath. Don't have to talk about Novak anymore. We're talking about the Melbourne season review, which will be really happy reading for you, Jared. They finished top with 17 wins, 4 losses, and that draw. They, of course, went on to win the flag in some extraordinary finals performances, it must be said. They've brought in Luke Dunstan and haven't lost anyone. They picked up some players in the draft. Jacob Van Ruyen, pick 19. Blake Howes at pick 39. Taj Woden and Judd McVeigh. So they've got themselves into a nice position, Jared. Months after you declared, I think in preliminary final week, or was it grand final week, that they had the opportunity to...
Well, before that, the Beaver was on the attack. It was about the second week of the finals, I think.
That's right. That's right. And you said that they could, they had the potential to create a dynasty.
Yeah, no question about that. And they've added to their list some really serious players.
Yep.
Haven't lost anybody. Luke Dunstan, I think, will be a very good pickup. I think he'll...
He's a no-risk pickup as well.
No risk. He's going to play well, and he'll play well on a good team.
No risk, high reward, really.
Yep. And, they've done well at the draft. I mean, who knows? Blake Howes, he slid. He was a top 20, slid to 39.
Mm.
A few question marks, but a value pick, I think, because you can iron out question marks. And Taj Woden looks like a good player, potentially a good player. I'm not sure about Judd McVeigh. Don't know anything about him. And Jacob Van Ruyen. A lot of people liked him in the draft, so clearly he's got some talents.
Hope they don't rue that decision. Start with a positive. Red light, green light?
Green light.
Jared, apart from the obvious of winning the flag, have you got a little diamond for me? A little green light that you liked? Or it can be a big one?
Well, I think Melbourne can get better.
Okay.
I really think that...
So the green light is they've won the flag and have upside.
They've got big upside. I think when you think that... they haven't lost anybody.
Mm-hmm.
So Wiedemann is elected to stay.
Yep.
That says something about where your club's at the present time.
Doesn't it? Because he could have easily just gone to Essendon and been a starting 12 player.
Probably deep down, I probably think he probably should have.
Okay.
But he didn't. And he And good luck to him for doing that, because I've been told he loves Melbourne. And he'd rather have a crack at getting better and fighting for his spot and grabbing that spot. So good luck to him. And it's a brave call. And it's going to be one, hopefully, that will deliver him a premiership. The one thing he does know, if he stays around and gets in the top 10, he's going to be batting out there for a premiership. Who was the other one? Former Essendon player that missed out on the...
Hibbard. No, Hibbard played.
Melksham, sorry. Now, Melksham's another one. He was, he could have found himself another home. He elected to stay for another 12 months. So they've got really good depth. And the only person they've lost of note was Nathan Jones, who was at the end of his time. So they've got really good depth when you think about it.
Can you find a negative? Red light.
A negative for Melbourne.
It's hard to.
I don't think you'd have to be mean-spirited to somehow find a negative, I think.
Playing a good brand of footy. They're jam-packed with talent all over the field. They've got good depth, as you said.
they've got this kid I know I went on about it after the grand final.
Jackson?
But Jackson.
Yeah.
He could be the best player in the comp in a few years' time if he continued that sort of form.
Simon Goodwin said to me in the rooms afterwards, I only say that because there was no one in the rooms, so it was easy to get access. And we're off the record. He said, just when you get a chance, when you go back, just look at in the third quarter when Max went forward.
He was frightening.
Just have a look at what he did in the centre bounce.
He ran past Clayton Oliver.
Because he said everyone will look at Petrarca and Oliver and the clearance stuff, but actually look at what he does with his hands.
No, he looks a hell of a player, and he's only in his, third year? It's exciting times.
Yep. And, everyone talks about the go-home factor with West Australians and South Australians. It just goes to show, though, if you're playing good enough footy, I mean, no one would leave Melbourne right now, as you've just seen and just made the point of.
Yeah, well, there's still the exceptions to that, unfortunately. I mean, Adam Chera, he couldn't be in a better position.
Yeah, that's Chera. And then one at
Sydney
Dawson,
Swans.
Sydney, Jordan Dawson.
Jordan Dawson. They're on the rise. He's in... Living in the best city in the world.
I wouldn't be leaving.
And
no chance.
He's packed up to go home. Now, I don't know why. Clearly, there was more issues at play than his footy.
Key questions heading into next year. Is Adam Tomlinson in their best 22 when fit?
I think he probably is.
I think he is. I'm just not exactly sure where it is. I assume it's that defensive
position. Same position.
But he can play anywhere. Yeah. The good thing about Tomo.
The man that came in to replace him is a pretty good player.
Yep. Harrison Petty.
Yep. So there's going to be a battle royale for that position. There's another one, Scoop, that I didn't think about. I mean, they have got so much depth.
Yep, they've got good luck chasing for them down. Everywhere. Is this the start of a dynasty? It has to be on the surface.
You can't begin a dynasty by coming second or third, as far as the way we define them. So, yes, it's potentially the start of a dynasty.
And if you had to pick somewhere, Jared, where would they need to improve next year?
They don't need to improve anywhere, really. They just need to play their best. But I think they can improve by
forward entries,
the likes of Luke Dunstan getting better. Mm. I think Wiedemann can get a lot better. I mean, they can improve. I think
their forward line could improve in how it functions, couldn't it?
Yep.
I mean, depending on how they use Brown.
When you kick 12 goals in a row, though.
No, I know. I'm just
that's the last memory we've got of Melbourne.
We're looking for needles in a haystack, really. Yeah. But we. This is what we do for each review, so we're trying to find the best. Okay, overs-unders. So the amount of wins that they have in 2022, 17 wins this year, Jared. So I'm setting the line at 18.
I think that's... I'm going over.
Okay, yep, so they only lose sort of two or three games. Amount of goals for Bailey Fritsch. He kicked 59 this year, which was an unbelievable result.
Didn't get in the Australian side, did he?
Ridiculous. I'm setting the line at 50.5.
I think he'll go over.
Yeah, okay. That'd just be incredible if you had two.
That's including finals.
Yep, including finals. Happy to give that. And the amount of Brownlow votes for Clayton Oliver next year. 31 this year, which is an incredible amount of votes when you think about it when they don't win. He lost by 5 votes. I'm setting the line at 27.5.
Over.
Wow. Clary to have another monster year.
Another big year. He's just coming into his prime, Clary.
That was the Melbourne season review. We're done with reviews. Which I'm happy with, to be honest.
Yep. It's time to move forward. Time to look forward.
More sports day after this. Welcome back to Sports Day. We're here for Red Energy and for Wilson Homes. Earlier tonight, we were joined by Test batsman Travis Head. Is he going to play in the first Test? Have a listen. Travis said there, playing a very straight bat to questions whether he will be batting at number five or will it be Usman Khawaja. Before we go tonight, Zoe.
Sorry for my delayed response there.
When you have your own segment, Jared,
you got to be prepared.
You have to be prepared. Preparation is key. I think she's already, personally, got her head at the Christmas party on Thursday. That's what I think.
I'd say so too.
Yeah, exactly right. Thank you for having me. Like I said, over the last couple of weeks, it's obviously an exciting time, but with most of the team announced, hasn't given much of the press to talk about too much. So good to see me and Izzy to give everyone the talk tongue about. And a few weeks ago, it was six or seven guys that were in that chat. Yep. Now it's down to Uzi and myself, and give myself the best opportunity and prepare as best I can for that first day of that first test. And if I get the nod, then be ready to go.
You'd have to be in front, Jared, wouldn't you?
So it's like a presidential election, this one, Travis. You've got 1 minute to give us your very best. Sell us and the Australian sporting public why the selectors should give you the nod.
It's been asked that a few times already, which is quite funny.
Well, you've had practice. Now you can refine it and bring it down to a couple of short sentences. You are in because of
100 a couple of days ago. I got 100 a couple of days ago. There you go.
That's perfect. You're in form.
Simplest way. I think we're both in form, which is a good thing about the squad at the moment, is that everyone's in good touch. I know that's pretty straight bat, but Uzi has had a fantastic year. I've come in with some touch in the last week, and we've done some hard work and spent a bit of time out in the middle of the other day. So, whoever they go with, we're going to be in great touch, and that's the most important part, is making sure we start the series extremely well.
Have you joked about this whole situation with Usman, or is it not quite not awkward enough to be joking about it yet?
No, I've got the same question. I joked about it when I come out of ABC. They said, give us your recommendation of Uzi, and Uzi's going to give his of mine. So, yep. For me. So, it was a bit of fun and laughter. But we get along really, really well. And I always said that the other day. And, we have a great relationship. We've played a lot of cricket against each other and a fair bit of cricket.
Yeah, for those listening, Jared and I actually didn't get invited to the Christmas party. Mm. Zoe, the panel operator, and Lawrence, the producer, are both taking Thursday off to go to the Christmas party.
Let's see if she can get the weather right, please.
Before we go tonight, it's time for a New Farm weather update. New Farm, Australian through and through. It's a little bit off-putting when you
put on that stupid
stare
voice
at me while I do it.
Hurry up.
In Horsham, a top of 35 tomorrow, shower or two developing and possible storms. In Sale, 30s the top, early fog and then partly cloudy. And in Melbourne, a beautiful day for a Christmas party, 31, possible afternoon shower or two.
Isn't the Christmas party on Thursday?
Yes, wait. But we're getting the storm out of the way first. So then come Thursday, we're all good.
I think it's going to be thunderstorms on Thursday as well.
Zoe.
I haven't looked that far ahead.
You might have stuffed that one up.
I'm handballing that.
I have asked you before my leave.
Windy?
I need the wind, the direction of the wind. On Wednesday, it will be.
On Wednesday, we can expect north to northeasterly, 20 to 30 kilometre winds becoming light in the early afternoon.
15 to 20 knots.
You surfing this week?
Well, if you're going to surf on the beach breaks, north to northeasterly is the perfect wind.
So where would you head? Where would you go?
Well, given that it's only going to be a 1.5 to 2 metre swell on the far side of Cape Otway, that's the spot you'd want to go, the far side of Cape Otway. Otherwise, you're talking dribble at Yonamatta.
How long's the drive to Cape Otway?
Well, you don't go there. You basically bypass Colac, go through Colac to Port Campbell.
Yep.
3 hours, 3 hours 20. Mm. If you want to head high waves, that's where you're going. Otherwise, you're going to Matter or Phillip Island for northeasterlies.
Fair drive.
And on Thursday, Zoe, looking ahead.
I got told I'm not allowed to look too far ahead.
Oh,
Scoop
no.
said one day.
No, you've got to do more than one day, just so people can plan their day. Southerly wind, Scoop, 10 to 15 knots with a 1 to 1.5 metre swell.
Jared, how many surfboards do you own?
About 12.
So it's like golf. Like if someone said, you know, how many putters and drivers have you got?
I've got a lot of surfboards in a lot of places.
So, I assume an avid surfer just has surfboards
everywhere. Well, I'm 60 years old. I've been buying boards for a long time. I've given away a lot of boards.
When was your last new board?
I've got one waiting for me, actually.
Oh, how good.
I've got an 8.6 waiting for me.
Is 8.6 normal?
8.6 is for waves, 8 foot, you know, sort of 8 foot and above.
Which is big, right?
Solid, yeah, weak, big.
Yeah, only the crazy people like you go out there.
That's my new Big Bells board.
Yeah, good. All right, thank you, Zoe. Well done on the weather
great,
update.
Great weather update.
Apart from the start, which you just stuffed up a bit. That's all right. Room for improvement.
I'll learn from you guys. What do you expect?
Don't learn from us. learn from someone better. Thanks for joining us on Sports Day. Jared and I will be back tomorrow.